Not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They got other stuff in them. But this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. All right, let's open the truth to 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and I want to give you just a little Bible lesson here on this old, cold, windy evening in February. I want to take just a few minutes tonight, will not be long, and give you something here from the Word of God here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I'm going to title this message tonight, How You Can Be Sure Not to Backslide. I guess every one of us has a fear in the back of our mind once in a while. Lord, what if I was to ruin my life? What if I was to go crazy and backslide on God? Nobody wants to do that when they're thinking straight. Nobody wants to ruin their life. And if you're right with God here tonight, I'm sure that it's crossed your mind. Boy, wouldn't that be awful, how you can just go out and mess up your whole life. I don't want to do that. I know we all sing, and I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about just forsaking God, quitting, getting out of God's will. Honestly, this evening, you'd be better off the Lord to kill you while you're right than to go out and just make a mess out of your whole life. You really have. I would rather me or my kids be dead and gone to heaven than to live in sin the rest of their life. And I mean that. You say, not me, preacher. I'd rather mine live in sin. I would. I'd rather be in heaven with the Lord. And I'd rather me be in heaven with the Lord than live in sin the rest of my life. And you should feel that way too. So how are we going to be sure? You get saved by grace through faith. And then there's some things here in the Bible that it said we're going to add to our faith. Now over there at that building, you start at the ground up. If you're going to build a building here tonight, you dig down in the ground, you pour concrete, and that's your foundation. And everything else. When you build a brand new building, you don't start bringing in light bulbs first thing or ceiling tile. You bring in the concrete. That's your foundation. Now, faith is your foundation of your life. That's the bottom thing. Everything else goes on top of it. Let's see what it says. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That's what you're going to like laying bricks on top of your faith. What are you going to lay on top of virtue? And to virtue, knowledge. What are you going to put on top of your knowledge? And to knowledge, temperance. What will you lay on top of the temperance? And to temperance, patience. On top of patience. And to patience, godliness. What on top of godliness? And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Look at all these. God put them in there for a reason. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity, love. That's on top. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So the promise in verse 8, there's a promise in verse 8, and that promise is that if you'll do what verse 5 and 6 and 7 says, you will not backslide. You want to be in God's will 5 years from now? If you'll do these things, verse 4, 5, and 6, I promise you, I can guarantee you right now, you'll never fall. Guarantee it. The Bible says it. So how to be sure not to backslide? Ye are God's building, the Bible said. I hear people say all the time, I meet people all the time that say, I used to go to church. I used to witness. I used to preach. I used to give out gospel tracts, visit the hospital, rest home. There's thousands of people like that around here. What happened to them? I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be one of them people that when people see me, they say, that's old Danny Castle. He used to be a preacher. Wouldn't that be a disgrace? I don't want people to say, I remember, your kids, you don't want your kids to grow up saying, Mom and Daddy used to take me to church. Lord have mercy, you don't want to be a flop and a failure like that. What's going to stop you from being that? Well, the Bible said it will add to our faith these things. Now, first of all, we'll talk about faith just a second. The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you get saved, your faith is your foundation. That's the bottom. That's concrete, like what's underneath that carpet right there. That concrete underneath them beams over there is holding this whole building up. Everything's held up. My preaching, my witnessing, my prayer life, my tract, my revivals, our youth rally, my ministry, everything in my life is held up by my faith. My faith is the bottom, concrete foundation of everything we do. That means that everything we do, below it lies a belief that this Bible is true and that Jesus is the Savior and that God's in heaven and there's a hell down there. All of everything we say and believe and do rests upon our faith in those things. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time when they're trying to shake your faith. If you watch enough TV, eventually you're going to lose your faith or part of it. TV is designed, most of it, by the devil, to decrease your faith in the Lord and in the Bible. There's something about higher education. There's something about traveling and learning more about the world that a lot of times makes people lose their faith in the Lord, especially higher learning. Somebody said, well, them dumb, uneducated people believe the Bible, and they just believe it because they're stupid. That don't show there's something wrong with being dumb. It shows there's something wrong with being highly educated. Because education many times will educate you out of your faith. There's a teacher stood right over here at this school several years ago, Western Piedmont. One of the ladies in our church was going up there taking just some classes, and that teacher stood in behind the podium and said, I will consider myself a failure if I don't cause you to doubt the existence of God in this class. It's their mission to make you doubt God and the Bible. You say, I don't believe it. You just haven't been around very long. They have an agenda, brother, and that agenda is to shake Christians out of their faith. Then Brother Derek mentioned this election coming up. The election we're going to see coming up here in just a few months on November 4th, my birthday this year. Could be a good birthday or a bad one. Well, it's probably going to be a bad one either way. But they're going to decide a lot of things that's going to affect their future. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That thing is decided by it's either people who believe in the Bible or those that don't. That's what it's coming down to. Those that believe in God and those that don't. And the opposition is strong. So our faith tonight is this. The sun, here's what faith is. The sun is shining right now. How many of you believe the sun is shining right now? Well, it sure is. You say, Brother Danny, we don't know it is. We believe that by faith. By faith, I believe the sun is shining right now. Even though it's gone down, even though you can't see it, even though it's pitch dark outside, the sun is shining right now. Now, that's what faith is. People say, well, I don't feel the Lord. I just don't feel the Lord. I can't get nothing from the Lord. You don't get nothing from the Lord by feeling Him. You get something from the Lord by believing. By faith, He's there, thank God. He's there. I'm going to tell you this evening, by faith, I believe the Lord is with me. I go through times when I don't feel His presence. I go through times when I don't know up and down spiritually. I go through times when you go through dry spells. Some of you are in a dry spell right now. I remember when you was on fire for the Lord, and you're not now. You're still just as saved as you ever was, and the Lord's still just as real as He ever was. It's just by faith you keep marching on. By faith you preach when you don't feel like preaching. By faith you pray when you don't want to pray. By faith you read your Bible when it's not convenient to read your Bible. Everything is founded upon our faith. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we please God by faith. We serve God by faith. You don't do nothing for God by feelings. It's all by faith. Now, I love it when you can feel something. I love it more when I get chills up and down my back. I love it when they say, make the hair stand up on your back. I don't know about that. I've heard people say that. I've never really felt the hair stand up on the back of my neck. But people say it does. Maybe it does for them. But I'll tell you one thing. It's just as real when you can't feel it. It's just as real when you don't can't get no blessing. It's just as real when there ain't no goosebumps. That's our faith. That's our faith. And by the grace of God, we're going to serve God by faith. Now, our faith is underneath us tonight, and it holds everything up. Now, let's add to our faith these things. Let's say I did this tonight. Let's say I took this from the Bible here, just a second. And let's say that Bible there would be our faith. Our faith. That's you getting saved. That's you putting your trust in the Lord. how the Bible said, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith. Having faith enough is not enough. And then it said, add all these other things. Add to your faith virtue. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't even know what virtue is. Well, here's a good question for you. How are you going to add it to your faith if you don't know what it is? And a lady pulls up and said, he said I needed transmission fluid. I don't know what that is. You don't know what you need. You don't know what it is. How are you going to know you're going to get it? All right, add to your faith virtue. Here's what virtue means. Virtue means, according to the dictionary, an excellent moral character. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe I should repeat that tonight. I know we're saved by grace. I know it's a gift of God. But according to the Bible, God still wants us all to have an excellent moral character. We was talking about it at lunch today. I think over there, I don't know who I was talking about this with. I don't remember, but the subject came up, and they said, so-and-so lied to me, and so-and-so told a lie. Did you know that God wants us to be honest with each other? Did you know if somebody, I was talking about preacher giving an illustration. I forgot. That's what it was. We were talking about that at lunch, Brother Jason and Don and somebody. We were talking about that, and this preacher gave an illustration, and this preacher gave this illustration like it was him in it. It wasn't really in it. A lot of times preachers do that. A preacher will tell a story. I've heard the different preachers tell the same story. And say, I was down here at the store, and this woman come up, and did that. And I said, no, I thought that same thing happened to that other dude that's here preaching last year. And another look. And a lot of times preachers feel like that it's all right to put themselves in the first person in a story, an illustration. To make it look. Well, I'm telling you, it's not. If I wasn't down at the store and talked to that woman, then that's a lie. Amen? Amen? You say, well, he's trying to make a point. It don't matter what he ought to say. What I always try to say is, I heard about a man who talked to a woman at the store or something like that. Don't put myself in it like it all happened to me. I said, this man come in one time, and he's preaching at this preacher's meeting, and he said he got up to preach, and he said he got up and he's preaching about Jonah. And he said, old Jonah was down in the whale, so the Lord gave me this message, you know. And he said, Jonah was down in the belly of the whale, and he fell down in the floor like this, you know. And he went down in the whale belly, and he rolled around in the floor, and he rolled and got behind the seaweed, and he got this weeds and wrapped around his neck. Boy, he was illustrating. He was into it. And had the flowers around his neck, and then this whale, bloop, pukes him out on the beach, and he comes running into Nineveh, and he runs all that into Nineveh like that, and he starts preaching, yep, 40 days, and Nineveh be overthrown. I mean, he got into it. There's amen, hallelujah, and everything. And they said that when he got through, he had to catch a plane and go somewhere else to preach, and another preacher came in to that preacher's meeting who didn't hear that message. They said they called on him to preach. He got up there and said, Lord, give me this message. He preached the very same scripture, read the very had the same title, had the same, he had it down, he rolled around in the floor, Jonah was down in here, I'll get you know. Probably both of them got it from somebody else. And he said over here, and he had the seaweed wrapped down his neck, and everything. And if they was dying, them preachers were rolling in the floor. Well, the more he did that, he thought, man, this is going over good. But it wasn't, it was laughing at him, are you idiot? And he made a fool out of himself. You're a whole lot better off just to be honest and be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to be Brother so-and-so. Don't try to, and don't tell people stuff that ain't true. Amen? Well, you know, them contractors, they're the worst in the world for it. Hey, Ronnie, how much do you do this for? And they'll say, $8,000. I said, is that contractor language or is it the truth? When you be here Monday, is that contractor language? Or will you be here? Well, the preacher said, well, we're running about 400. Is that ministerially speaking? Or how many you really got? One preacher had like 230. He said, we're running about 300. 230 ain't about 300, brother. I mean, you know, like that one preacher said, he said, how many are you running? He said, we're running 500, our church. He said, really? He said, yeah, but we ain't catching but about 80 of them. Maybe that's the truth. We're running 500 and catching the idea. But listen, the virtue is excellent moral character. If you tell somebody something, that ought to be it. I know a lot of times you say, well, if I tell them the truth, they're going to get mad. But it's a lot better for them to get mad or get their feelings hurt than it is to lie to them and then find out you lied to them. Don't y'all get quiet on me. What's wrong with telling the truth?
Excellent moral character. You know, there's something about if you get in the habit of lying, you'll just start lying to everybody. And it's addictive. You'll lie about this and you'll lie about that. You'll lie about the other. I mean, just tell people the truth, amen? Just tell the truth. Say, look, I'm sorry. I got to tell you the truth. I hate, you know, I broke your lawnmower. And a car didn't run off the road and hit it, like I said earlier. I broke it. I tore it up. Just tell the blessed truth, brother. Have a moral character about you. And you will not backslide if you'll add to your faith virtue. There's some things we ought not to think funny. Let me tell you people something. Everybody listen. There's some trash on TV that you ought not to think is entertaining and laugh at as a Christian. There's some things on TV that ought to absolutely enrage a child of God. I'm not trying to be so holy. I'm not trying to set myself, because I'm not. I'm just a born of sin just like you are. But brother, there's some stuff on TV that some of you think is funny and some of you think is cute and you laugh at it. Ladies, you don't need to sit there all morning at your house and fill your head with a philosophy of this world on all them old shows. I mean, I'm Dr. Phil and every one of that junk mess like that. I think Dr. Phil ought to have some trouble in his life once in a while. And somebody set him down, just bless him out. You sorry, good for nothing. What's wrong with you? He needs a dose of his own medicine. I'm not saying Dr. Phil's wicked. He's supposed to be a Christian. I'm not saying, but he's too mean to people. He needs to have some passion. And all that old trash, them soap operas and everything, there's some things on TV that ought to make you upset. You should not be able to sit and watch everything come on TV and just say, well, I'm a Christian. I can filter out the good from the bad. And it don't bother me. There's something wrong with you. You ought to have an excellent moral character. Say amen right there. Amen. Add to your faith virtue. Amen. Add to your faith virtue. Same thing about at work. Try to do right. I know we're not saved by works. I know we're all sinners. I know that. I'm the worst of all. But listen, we ought to try to do what's right. In the workplace, at home, in front of our kids, little EJ coming to me tonight. Raise your hand over, EJ. He told me about his daddy coming down here. And he said his daddy had a job with a plumbing outfit. And that plumbing outfit, there's a plus name for the Bible or something like that. And they said, you need to learn your plumbing book. And he said something about the Bible. And they said, this book's more important than the Bible or something like that, right? And you know what he done? He quit his job. He said, my Bible's more important than that. And I thought, that's going to make an impact on that young man growing up. He'll remember when he's 50 years old that his daddy chose his Bible over it. Stuff like that, what makes an impression on your kid? They will remember when you took your stand for what was right. Your kids will remember when you treated somebody right, when you went back over to somebody's house and apologized to them, when you confessed up and owned up to what you've been doing wrong. Excellent moral character. You know what, brother? Get you some virtue in your life. Tell people the truth. Tell them the truth. Amen. Whew. Lord have mercy. We're just on virtue. Number two. You know, so he said, put on top of your virtue. He said, knowledge. 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 You ought to know more now than you did this time last year. I think some of you know less. I'm telling you, you're getting dumber. Listen, you can get dumb and dumber as the years go by. The Bible said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have been saved for a long time and still ignorant of the Word of God. You're supposed to be ignorant of the devil's devices, but not ignorant of the Word of God. You're not supposed to know about crystal meth and every drug in the world more than you even know the Bible. You're not supposed to know more about the devil's stuff than you do the Word of God. I mean, some people, they know every dirty, rotten, low-down rap song. They know the words to it. They know every dirty movie it's out. They know, and don't know the 12 disciples. Don't know how many books in the Old Testament. The Bible said, add to your virtue knowledge. You ought to want to learn. There ought to be something in you that says, I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to learn the Bible. You know what I've been doing? Of course, I've always done this, but I've been trying to do it more lately. I've been trying to get me some preaching tapes and teaching tapes and put them in. I've got some videos that Brother Wayne made me of Dr. Ruckman and around the house. I watch the news about just about every day, not every day. I try to keep up what's going on in the world. But instead of just leaving the news on, I pop one of them videos in while I'm cleaning up my bedroom and making my radio tape. I'm listening to some preaching. I mean, I got up at, I think it's 3 o'clock this morning and turned some preaching on for a little while. I thought maybe it'll help me. Maybe it'll get in me. Maybe it'll rub off on somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to add to our virtue knowledge. Learn something about the Bible. That's why you need to come to church on Wednesday night. We had two families get out of church and go join churches where they don't even believe a King James Bible. And I thought, Lord, I've done a sorry job. I must not be a good Bible teacher. And then it dawned on me, they never came on Wednesday night when I taught about it. That's what'll get you in trouble. Add to your virtue knowledge. You ought to know why you believe there's one Bible. I heard old Fred Potter on the radio this evening, and boy, he was coming down on that thing. You ought to heard him. He said, this guy said, whichever Bible you get the most out of, read it. He said, whichever one gives you the biggest blessing, that's which one you ought. He said, some guy was saying that, and he said, that guy said, the Bible, the Word of God. He said, he shouldn't say the Bible, the Word of God. He should say the Bibles are the Word of God. Listen, brother, the Bibles ain't the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. You ought to know which Bible you believe, and if you've been saved more than 5 years, you ought to be able to know enough to show somebody else at work why their Bible is the wrong one. And if you go to church where they teach other Bibles, you're compromising for convenience sake, and you're compromising for society's sake and for social sake, rather than getting in the truth and paying the price for getting the Word of God from this book right here. Say amen right there. You ought to have some knowledge. It ought to bother you when a preacher stands up and preaches out of a Bible that leaves Acts 8:37 out of it, the plan of salvation. It ought to bother you when a Sunday school teacher uses an NIV that don't even have the Trinity in it in 1 John 5:7. Do you love the Bible? You just like being religious and going to church. I'm telling you, you need to add some knowledge to your virtue. Number 4, temperance. What does temperance mean? Temperance simply means some self-restraint. That means you go so far and you stop. Self-control. A Christian ought to have a good amount of temperance. The Bible even says, be temperate in all things. Indulging of the appetites of the flesh will be the opposite of temperance. The world teaches you just do whatever you want, have whatever you want, go wherever you want, say whatever you want to say, don't deny your flesh nothing. And the word temperance means moderation. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can do that's in moderation. There's a lot of stuff you can do that's not a sin in moderation. But you can carry it too far and make a sin up. Sports, money, a lot of things. Exercise, physical fitness, all that. There's nothing wrong with that stuff in moderation. There's nothing wrong with making money as long as it don't become your God. There's nothing wrong with playing sports as long as it don't take first place in your life. There's nothing wrong with doing all of these things. The Bible said temperance. In other words, you've got to know where to draw some lines. There's got to be a time and a place where you draw a line and say, I'll go this far, but no further. And if you find yourself being overboard in things, you need to jerk back a little bit and say, by the grace of God, let me just say this. Nothing ought to have control over a Christian except Jesus Christ. Not food. The Bible talks about some people say their God's their belly. Their God is their belly. Oh, God, I thank you for being so big today. They ought to pray to their belly. Oh, my belly, thank you for being, you feel so good today. I'm going to fill you up again and again and again. Bible said their God is their belly. Lord have mercy, what an awful fix to be in. Listen, buddy, I like food as good as anybody in here. I love it. I love steak. I think the best thing I've ever put in my mouth is Häagen-Dazs ice cream. There ain't nothing in this world tastes any better than that. I ain't talking about Breyers. That's way down. Breyers, all that jumps way down here. You get you some Häagen-Dazs and let it sit out and melt for 30 minutes. where it's real soft, you put that in your mouth, I'm telling you, brother, that's next thing to heaven. I mean, there ain't nothing no better. And I love steak, and I love a lot of stuff like that. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I am not, by the grace of God. Some people say, well, I got to have my caffeine every morning. I don't want caffeine to run my life. Of course, you know, I don't drink coffee, and I don't drink soft drinks, neither. I've drunk one of them little ones since December. And I don't drink that, but somebody told me one time, they said, you're addicted to Pepsis. And I said, I am not. And they said, yes, you are. You drink four or five a day. So I quit 3 years ago and made up my mind I was not going to let a Pepsi tell me what to do. What'd I say? I ain't going to let no Pepsi be my God. I still like them. And I don't think it's sin to drink one. I don't think it's sin to drink coffee. I don't not drink coffee because I think it's wrong. I just don't drink coffee because it stinks. It tastes horrible. My sister gave me some coffee when I was little and told me it was Pepsi. And I drunk it and I went, bleh, and I ain't never drunk none since. I was about 4 or 5 years old. I've hated it ever since. Look, if you drink coffee, I don't care. I don't judge you. I don't think you're doing wrong. Have at it, brother. But I'll tell you one thing. If you say, I've got to have my caffeine. I've got to have my caffeine. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. Then you need to just chill out and let's come to the altar and pray about this and let's get rid of this thing and give you the victory. Nothing ought to control you like that. I don't think it's wrong, but nothing ought to boss you around. I don't think biscuits and gravy is wrong, but I'm not going to let it control. I'm not going to die if I don't get it. Don't let nothing rule your life to where I can't stand. Nicotine, cigarettes is a good thing. Chewing tobacco, not a good thing. It's a good example. A good example. If you've got to have some, I know people that can't make it through a watch night service without having to run out and smoke. Now listen, I'm not going to let something boss me around like that. I ain't going to do it. Amen. Say amen, people. Paul said, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any of it. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the only thing that's got rule over you. I'm helping you now. I'm helping y'all if you'll just listen to me. This is good for you. I had a man tell me one time, he came out of church, he said, these things are ruling my life. He said, I've got to have one. Every time I turn around, I've got to have one. He said, I'm sick of it. I'm going to quit. And I said, okay. He said, I want y'all to pray for me. And I said, let's do it. And so we got down the parking lot and prayed. We said, God help him. He picked them out of his pocket like that, pulled them across the road. And he said, years after that, he said, I never wanted another one after that. I said, hallelujah. I know other people that quit 5 years ago, and they said they could eat one from here to the wall over yonder. And it affects different people different ways. And I'm not trying to be your judge. I'm not. I don't look down on you. But I'm telling you, according to that Bible, there is nothing that should rule over your life and have power over you that you can't do serve God because of that thing. Amen? And for you that don't smoke, don't judge the ones that do, because I just use that as an illustration. Some of y'all got habits that's a whole lot worse. You gossip more than, I mean, your tongue reaches from here to McDonald's, and you tell everything you know and a bunch of stuff you don't know, and you can't wait to tell something, call in on the phone. That's worse than smoking ever thought about being. Amen? Amen. Well, anyway, temperance. Number five, patience. Patience. Patience is simply being able to wait. You'll get yourself in more trouble by saying, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I know my payments are $800 a month, and my insurance is $300 a month, but I want it. You'll get yourself in more trouble. I know young people that's got a $600 car payment, and make $200 a week, and $200 insurance payment. They say, I've got to have it. I know. How many people have messed up their life because they couldn't wait and went ahead and got married? That's why, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, well, the divorce rate is so high among Christians now. You know why that is? Let's be honest about it. Because Christians won't live right. Sinners just go ahead and commit fornication and shack up and don't worry about it. But Christians want to do right, and then they get together and they're attracted to each other, and they say, well, we can't have sex because it's a sin. I guess we better go ahead and get married. And they get ahead of God and go ahead and get married too quick. And that way, and then they wind up fighting like cats and dogs, and it don't work out. They just don't have any patience. They want to gratify the flesh right now, right now. Most relationships are built on lust and not love, and it never works out. Because lust decreases with time. Love increases with time. Or I guess right here. Lust starts out here and goes down. Love starts out here and goes up, like right there. And it goes over time. And you better hope that love kicks in before that lust runs out. Or you're in trouble. Or if you ain't got neither one, you're really in trouble. If you ain't got the one of them, you're in trouble. I'm telling you tonight, listen, brother, that Bible says, be patient! I hear it all the time. Brother Danny, I feel so sorry for you. You need a good woman. You know, I said, yeah, you know any? Just kidding. And here's what I told somebody this morning. Standing right back there. I said, I'm making the best I can out of the situation I'm in. And when God gets ready to change that, then that's fine with me. That's His business. You listen? You can't say, I'm just going to get married. No, you need to be locked up for a day or two. Somebody needs to take a big bucket of coal like you do them football coaches and dump that ice water on you. You lay, you girls, you see if somebody else get married, you say, No, just chill out now. Just chill out. Tell them, all you married ladies, they're going to have plenty of time. Ain't that right, married ladies? Nothing wrong with getting married. I'm not giving it a bad name. God wants 99.9% of the people to be married. It'll eventually happen to probably every one of us in here, probably sooner or later, one day. Somebody dumb enough to have you will come along. So old man, woman sitting out on the porch one day and there's a rocking. And they've been dating about 35 years. He looks over and he said, honey, I think it's about time we got married. She said, I do too. Who do you think would have us? Maybe that's what it is with some of us. I don't know. But I'm telling you something, brother. You need bury some patience. Patience is genius. Patience is power. When he says wait on the Lord, he meant exactly what he said. Let me tell you about this situation, about you people that's still single. We got a lot of them in here tonight. Let me tell you the best thing you can do. Be content with what you've got and thank God for where He's got you right now and just rejoice, try to win some souls, and then God will give you the next step. That's the best advice I can give you. Next is godliness. Let's hurry. Godliness. Well, what's godliness? Something that's like God. Ungodliness is something that's not like God. Not separated, devoted to God. The Bible said in the Old Testament they had to have them sacrifices, and the Bible said they had to be seasoned with salt, just like you put salt on the meat, chicken, hamburger, whatever makes it taste better. Our lives should be seasoned with godliness. When I think of godliness, I think of people like Sister Kerr. I know she'd get mad at me if she heard me using her name. She'd say, no, Brother Danny, I'm nothing. But I'm telling you that she's a godly lady, in my opinion. I call her when I need prayer. There's just something you can tell when she gets up to talk. You can just see it around her. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I remember one time, this girl called me the other day. I don't even remember. She called me down here below Morgan and somewhere. She said, Brother Danny, you was preaching when I was young and I got right with God. She's probably in her 30s now. And she started talking. She called me late at night. She said, I've just been thinking about you and I want to call you and tell you how much I appreciate you. She said, I remember one time you got up and preached. And she said, when you was up preaching, she said, it was like I could see Jesus all around you. And I said, glory to God. I don't know if she's on something or what, but that's a compliment. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, that's the best compliment you could ever have anybody pay you. I could see Jesus around you. When you get up to sing, girls, Kelsey, our Sound Like Girls, choir, it's not your talent that people are interested in. They want to see Him. They want to see the Lord. I mean, brother, I love talent. I'm glad y'all got it, and you have. Thank God for it. But people want to see Jesus around you. When a man gets up to preach, they don't want to just know how much we know. They want to see God on us. When you come to work and you start talking about the Lord, they don't care how many Sunday school pens you won. They want to see some godliness on you. Amen. Let me say
also tonight. Number seven, I run out of books, so I just act like I'm putting books on it. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Bible said, be kind one to another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against each other, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You've got to learn to forgive each other. I'll guarantee you, as people sitting here tonight, that your spiritual life is hindered because you've got hard feelings towards somebody. Guarantee it. And it's not hurting that person that you've got the hard feelings toward. It's hurting you. I've had a bunch of people come up to me in my life and say, Brother Danny, forgive me. I have this happen about every 2 or 3 months. Somebody call me and say, Brother Danny, forgive me. I said, for what? I said some bad things about you. I wish they hadn't even tell me that, because now I got hard feelings against them. Shut up. Don't tell me. If you said bad things about me, just confess to the Lord. You don't have to tell me. I want to imagine that you like me. Let me keep dreaming. You probably all hate me. And you just tell me that stuff, you know. Yeah, right. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. You listen? Are you listening? Forgive each other. You got a problem with somebody? Get over it tonight. Right now. Put it on this altar. I am not going to have hard feelings. I am not going to hold a grudge. Well, Brother Danny, they hurt me. Well, get used to it. You hurt the Lord. I hurt you. You hurt me. We all hurt each other. You can't have a church full of people and not get your feelings rubbed the wrong way once in a while. Man, I've had to make some decisions over at the new church, and I don't even agree with my decisions. So please don't get mad at me for it. I mean, when we move in, I don't say, why ain't this? Why ain't that? We're doing the best we can, people. The best we can with what we got. You dump a couple million on me, we'll do a lot better. If you can't, shut up and quit griping. Amen? I guarantee you there'll be some of you that ain't struck a lick that'll show up the first day and say, well, why'd you do it like this? Why don't you do that? And let's just get over it, amen? Just be happy. Just be happy with what you've got. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your car. It may not be the best, but quit griping about it. And don't worry, don't have hard feelings toward somebody else. I'm not going to let any man lower me because of me to hate him. I prayed this morning for preachers by name this morning that I know would love it if I died. And I'm not exaggerating. I prayed for preachers in their ministry this morning who I know for a fact it would tickle them to death if they heard I went out and got drunk or something terrible happened to me tonight. And I'm not saying I'm something great. I'm just saying I got to have my heart right. I got to have my heart right. You know the hardest thing for me to do sometimes? Is when something comes up on one of them and I have a chance to really make them look bad if I want to keep my mouth shut. Because I don't say, la, 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 see that, see that, see that. Comes back to you, don't I? It's just, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. You say, Brother Danny, this old witch I work with, she got him. Lord, bless her. She probably had a bad day. Lord, bake her some cookies. Brotherly kindness. And then number eight, charity. Charity. Love. Something from God. Something you can't fake. It's always connected with giving. You know what love is? It's giving. I can tell who loves me. I can tell who loves me the way your kids. I can tell what you think about me by how your kids treat me. There's a lot of kids coming in there, Brother Danny, Brother Danny, Brother Danny. You know what goes on? Brother Danny, Brother Danny. I can tell how mom and daddy respect me by how their kids do. That's where they get it. And the opposite's true, too. And I'll say this last thing I'm through. It says diligence. Hard, steady, staying with it. Not getting discouraged. I'm going to go. I don't care how bad I feel. I don't care if I get home at 5 after 6 on Wednesday night. I'm going to jump in the shower, grab me a peanut butter sandwich, and I'm headed to the house of God. That's diligence. Bus workers,
it's cold and it's February and you're tired and gas is $3.30 a gallon, and you get up on Sunday morning and say, by the grace of God, Lord, you give me this work to do, I'm going to do it. That's diligence. That's diligence. Getting on them instruments, our musicians, our choir, our songs, our specials, our Sunday school teachers, everything, just saying, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay with what God gave me to do. It may not be much. I may not be the most important person in the kingdom of God, but little as much if God's in it. And if all I do is sit on the front row and say amen, I'm going to be diligent and do that. Amen. When it comes time for church and you got a little headache, don't stay home. Take you something and come on. You'd be surprised what a good hard screaming, hollering, preaching will do for a headache. It makes mine feel better somehow or another every time. I can have a bad headache, take me a goody powder and preach, and I feel great after that. It's true. Diligence. Constantly giving diligence. I've told you here for years, I've been waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I get all my Bible reading done at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had all my Bible reading done for the day by 4 o'clock this morning, and then I go back to sleep for 2 or 3 hours. I don't know what's happening to me. I'm getting my days and nights to shut up. I know what you're thinking. You're always some wicked, judging, smart aleck like y'all. But I'm starting to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning all the time, and I like it. I enjoy it. I'll turn the light on, read my Bible. I'll read 5 chapters and pray, and then go back to sleep for a while. And then when I get up, I'm ready to go. Done got my Bible reading done. Don't turn your TV on before you read your Bible. Don't let man talk to you before you talk to God. Pray. Be diligent, people. Come on, be diligent. Don't be so up and down. Don't have to get right with God every youth rally. Get right and stay right. We need some new young people that'll get right and stay right. Not get on fire. Oh boy, I love it when some of y'all get on fire, because I really use you for a while, because I know you ain't going to last long. You'll be back down for long. But listen, it'd be a blessing if some of you just got in there and stuck and stayed right with God. Amen. You won't miss a service for 3 months and then won't hit one for 3 months. Get in there and stay. Diligent, brother. Diligent. Stay in there. That's how to not to backslide. The Bible said if you do these things, you'll never fall.